Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and I am so excited about being back with you today. And joining me in the studios this morning to encourage you is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Also, the host while I was gone, the host who I so enjoyed listening to, is joining us in the studio this morning. Yes, the one, the only, John Reynolds.
Good morning, good morning.
Oh. I'll give a shout out this morning to Steve Kalaszewski.
Man,
you so encouraged me when I was in Tennessee. Oh my goodness, man. Those are keepers, keepers, keepers. Give a shout out this morning to Najina. Oh my goodness. Good morning, Najina. Also, I'll give a shout out this morning to Kaychara, Supermoms. Oh my goodness. If y'all have not yet seen it, Facebook, Supermoms, encouraging mothers who have to balance so many things. I'll give a shout out also this morning to Colorado, Drew. It is so cool that you came down to visit in Colorado. And also, I'll give a shout out to the Abider, Curtis. Good morning, man. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And John Ramos. Good morning, John. Oh, my goodness. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning.
You're right. Oh, my goodness. He's like, oh, I am back. I'm so excited about being back this morning. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I so missed you guys, you know, hanging out, encouraging our listeners and our family that's scattered across, you know, the earth, being fruitful and multiplying and giving God glory. I'm excited about living in America, you know, listening to the original intent. John, I was just so encouraged. I was so encouraged by, you know, things that you shared. I was just amazing, you know, just the original intent, you know, in George Washington, and about the power in our words, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, the power. It makes you want to shut your mouth, don't it? It's like, oh,
my goodness.
I got to make sure I shoot this gun off right, right?
That's right.
And I'm talking about words. I'm not talking about ammunition or anything like that, even though I do believe in the Second Amendment.
Right.
And I have evidence to prove it.
Amen.
And this is my, that's my NRA coin. Anyway, so, I do want to say this, that I'm just glad to be back. I
am so pumped.
We're glad to have you.
I'm going to give a shout out this morning to Eddie, man. I got your shout out, man. I'm loving you too, man. And your encouraging words are just mean a lot to me. And we have a shout out to everybody, you know, all of our listeners, you know, from Okinawa to Houston. I'll give a shout out this morning to Barbara, her first day back. You know, kids are like, oh, I got to go back to school, you know. And it's like, hey, teachers do too, so I don't want to hear it. All you got to do is show up and listen. They got to show up and teach.
That's right.
Yeah, and actually, I think when we went through school, you know, I'm not encouraging our listeners this, you know, matter of fact, you needed parental guidance to suggest that the statement that you know, because I didn't understand the keys of life at the time. I just wanted the keys to the car, you know what I'm saying?
that's all I wanted.
And I was able, I found out that when you get into school, you get in your class, if you spend the first 6 weeks of your class raising your hand so much, the teacher just goes, I will never call on this guy again. And at that point, they don't call on you for the rest of the year. You know what I'm saying?
So that really works?
I wish I would have learned
I was just, you know, remembering Pat's autobiography, you know, different things that are taking place. But if it is an autobiography, it's a cut and paste.
Exactly. I borrowed it.
Yeah, right. He gets the throne room of God, and the Lord says, what about this? He says, all I know is I just cut and pasted it. So he's like, oh, my goodness. We got so many things to talk about this morning. I'm going to give a shout-out to the VFN family. I love you so much, and I just can't describe how good it feels to be back with you. It's just very, very encouraging to be there. I know that, you know, tight elbows. Isn't that something else? Like tighten the elbows.
Learned something there.
Isn't that good?
That was good.
That was really good, man.
Very good.
Tighten them up. You know, that unity in the body of Christ is so important. Mm-hmm. You know, if two can put 1,000 to flight.
Come on.
You think about it. If two can put 1,000 to flight, And one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000 to flight. You know, a friend of mine, he's a CPA and he's an accountant, so obviously he's good with numbers. So he worked it all the way out.
Did he?
And he said, that means that three could put 100,000 to flight. Mm. You know, if we could just find a few folk who agree with God, we can knock this bubby out. Full, you know what I'm saying? The great commission, you know, the great expectation of God. Let's just do this thing. You know what I'm saying? Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just shake off all, okay, the luxury. All right. Let's just shake off, okay, the convenience. Okay, let's shake off all the stucco. Let's just get out there and let's do this thing. You know what I'm saying? Because he said, with the gospel will be preached to all, then the end will come.
That's right.
You know, and I just want to encourage you, begin to abide with God and listen. He, the same Jesus, the same God, the same Spirit, he loves you personally. Mm-hmm. And he has a plan for you personally. And we're here to encourage you in that plan because we're listening to him too. And we're going to hear the same thing. Go out and tell people about him and give them a chance to enter into the family of God. Think about it. The family of God.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not cool? Some people go, oh, I don't have a family. You know, listen, until you in God's family, you haven't really experienced family.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because there's an anointing and a grace for the family of God. Not the organization of man, but the family of God. Not people who use the word family.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know biological families who use the word family.
Mm-hmm.
And their greatest stresses, their greatest dreads, their greatest reason for taking things to distract them, medications.
Right.
It's the fact they're fixing to go see a family member. It's time for Christmas.
Right.
It's time for Christmas.
I can understand.
And it's like, and it literally, the enemy has stole that because we refuse to accept God's definition of family. He says, who is my mother? Who mm-hmm. is my brother? He's saying, who's my family?
Mm-hmm.
Who's my family? Who's God's children? Those who do the will of my Father. So when you find people, listen, if you've been looking in the wrong places, if you've been looking amongst the religious, if you've been looking amongst all men's traditions and philosophies and mm-hmm. all those things, find the family of God, even if it's just one member of your family.
Mm-hmm.
When you talk to them, you're going to go, I love you. You know, it's like, where you been my whole life? Can I get you something? What do you need? You know why? Because Jesus is in them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just drawn. Even they don't even speak the same language. You know, in VFN family, you know, we're broad over the place. And we have members in the VFN family who are ministering to and reaching out to people who don't even speak their same language.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you know, hacking their way through conversations. But both of them are just excited. You know, mm-hmm. and this is in several places,
right.
Because Jesus is amongst them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's not about how well you say something, because if they're speaking two different languages and falling more and more in love with Jesus, and mm-hmm. they're hunting and pecking for a noun or an adjective or a verb, you know, and they're saying it all backwards, but mm-hmm. God is just exploding his presence in their midst. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you to say, hey, look for your family. Find your family. There's nothing like the family of God. Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Those who do the will in view of God's mercy and because mm-hmm. of his grace of the Father. Isn't that cool?
That's good.
That's very cool.
Well, you know, we just got back from spending time together, Donna and I, on our 24th wedding.
And
24? I don't know how.
Amazing.
I don't know. I don't know what happened, you know. I don't know what happened until I looked in the mirror and went, "Oh, 24 years have." Look at my,
yeah,
you know, I had a waist. No, I was going to say a 28 inch waist, 30.
You,
like, I had
you
a
still
waist.
Have a waist.
I have it highly protected because you know when you ship something really precious, you got to put a lot of padding around it in case it gets bumped or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. And I even have a six pack, according to I heard you on the VFN radio.
Yeah, right.
Hey, yeah. In the mail since
well,
you kid.
Well, it's just behind a lot of, you know, a lot of packing. But I can tell you about my doctor's visit. Make sure I went to my doctor's visit. I can tell you guys about that, you know, before we left out of town. Last thing I did was go see the doctor. You know, we're not apt to be people that complain, and I got a real good doctor. And, I'm talking to him, and I listen to myself because doctors ask you what's wrong. You know,
mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, I'll start with A and work with."
Yeah, right.
I'm getting older. I didn't tell him about the Band-Aid thing, but hopefully he didn't hear it. No. My skin. Oh, my gosh. But 24 years. 24 years. The miracle of God in Donna Zamai's life has graced us to be married for 24 years. And we got a chance to celebrate that as we were left town, I guess, last Friday. Yeah, last Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I appreciate you guys. You know, y'all did a wonderful job. You know, we got a chance to listen and all. And watching you guys broadcast it in Franklin, Tennessee, about 10 miles south of Nashville.
Cool.
Wow.
And, yeah, there's a lot of country singers up there.
Is there?
Yeah. Nashville's cool, man. They play music everywhere.
Yeah, they really do.
I mean, everywhere. On every street corner, somebody
yeah.
has a guitar.
Yeah, no
and
doubt.
And they're amazing.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was definitely amazing. And so Franklin, so I'm in Franklin. And well, we happened to be there, like this hotel opened like 7 days prior to us getting there.
Mm-hmm.
And they just said, come on in. It gave us this real, you know, great rate to be able to be there in this hotel, which is like, I don't know, 12 stories in Franklin. That's pretty big. I know you're, but ooh, back up. But in Franklin, you're on top of a mountain already.
Oh.
Right.
So 12 stories on top of a mountain, you know, come on. Come on, New York. Come on, guys. Come on, help me out here. Help me out.
Yeah.
I'm on Houston, you know what I'm saying? It was 12 stories on top of a mountain, and the mountain had to be at least 3 foot tall. No, it was. But you know, we had a chance. It was just a beautiful area. We went to Franklin years ago, but hadn't got a chance to go in some time, and it's just totally fundamentally been transformed since we've been there. And it seems like everybody in Nashville probably, I guess, moved to Franklin.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. But we had a wonderful time, just spending time together, and. Just relaxing and just seeing the sights, and I got to tell you what happened when we went to Nashville, and oh my goodness. But 24 years, think about it. That's
amazing.
You know,
that's
awesome. It's like, my goodness, 24 years. You know, somebody says, well, you know, that was a long time ago. Your children says, it's like, dude, you haven't been around for a long time.
Yeah,
I do want to say a disclaimer now. When we use the word dude, I don't know where it came from, but it's not in derogatory means. It's just, it means, I guess it would be hombre.
Dude. Just means dude. I don't know. What does it mean?
I don't know. I heard it could mean something different.
Oh, well, really? I asked Pat permission. I said, could I say dude on the radio?
Well,
he said
well
okay,
I'm so glad we got past his original word. Dog. We never was like, Lord, deliver me from that word. Where'd it come from? Oh, my goodness. And one day I saw saw it where it came from, man. Well, you know, so many things are taking place right now. We do want to go right into, you know, talking about, you know, God's news behind the news, because we not only want to share with you the news, which you're probably hearing already, we want you to be able to know what to do with the news you know. And God's perspective, you know, begin to search out what God's perspective is for that. And you can see this, you know, on the VFN Torch, which you can get to at VFNTV.com and click on the VFN Torch. But yesterday morning, mm-hmm. In Washington, D.C., at the Family Research Council, this man comes in there and he's upset about their stand, about their values, what they stand for, which is God's perspective of family. And, you know, it's real simple. People try to have a logical explanation for things. The truth is, if you get your way,
mm-hmm.
then it'll be shown that what I'm doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It boils down to that.
Right.
Because if the two can coexist and you can speak with how you feel and I can speak how I feel, then why would there be any thing.
What's the problem?
What's the problem? And the problem is the fact that the very presence of light shines on me, and it causes me to be aware of.
Mm-hmm.
It causes me to be aware of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's all of us. That's how we found Jesus, and that's why we live in the light. Because he that lives in the light and walks in the light, you know, he's saying, I want to leave all that. And there is no different categories of sin. We have to understand this, and this is where the church is going to get in problem. Because, you know, the church is pointing out different types of sins
mm-hmm.
as being bad sins. But it's like the question is, which sin sends you to hell?
That's right.
You know, and Jesus said, well, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about in the future really soon, because we've got to get this out to our listeners and needs to be on the Torch and needs to be on the VFNTV app. You know, the statistics are very high that the abortion rate is are people who call themselves Christians are the ones that are having them.
Right.
And also the ones who are looking at internet pornography and all those things are Christians.
That's right.
You know, a lot of those are people who profess to be Christians. And I want to encourage you now that it's all a trap. Realize that there's grace for you and God can pull you out. But we cannot be all involved in that and pointing our finger at something else and don't realize that all this is demonic and it'll come down on you. And what we want to do is believe that God can, if we repent, you know, and we go, okay, you know, I'm into that or I did that. We got a teaching or an article or something coming up on probably VFN TV or could be on VFN radio. You know, we all have searched and fallen short of the glory. Because, you know, the, some of the biggest search terms, you know, just nail it. They talk about, you know, I have this book sitting here right beside me called Click. And it says that when a particular church organization comes into town, into hotels, they have this huge, it's not a church, but it's like a whole organization of churches, you know, comes in town that the there's in hotels, they have movies you can purchase or something on the TV and all that kind of stuff.
Right, like pay-per-view.
Yes. Thank you, Pat. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Did we just learn something new? we've all have sinned and no, the,
paid for view.
No, but the thing is this is that, and so they said that this huge purchase of pornography comes up when the church comes to them. I just want to say this first, that if you read the word of God, this is not strange for God's people, but what's horrific for God's people is when they don't, when they realize that God's saying, deal with this and we don't. And we don't, and we repent. We got to repent.
Right.
I mean, if you, if I could just talk to you, who sat around King David's dinner table? Right. I mean, if you talk about the family member, you know, Mephibosheth, and you talk about the murderer and all the things, you know, the adulterer and all those kinds. That's
sure.
And this is all of us, but you can't. We can't stay in sin. We got to deal with our sin.
Sure.
And every one of us, not any one particular sin or another, because which sin sends you to hell? You know, so. You know, I say it quite often, but a lot of people who are, you know, doing one thing and criticizing another, they're going to be really surprised because when they get to the same location, they're going to look at them and say, what the hell are you doing here? That's what E.V. Hill said, right? E.V. Hill quote. And so the truth is that every one of us, I don't care who you are, how much money you have, how big you think you are, and how small you think you are. I don't care what gender you are. I don't care what religion expression that you are, Christian expression that you're in. You answer alone before God, but God's grace is sufficient for you. We're not going to win this by us trying to push laws on America. We're going to win this by us throwing our knees to the ground and repenting of the laws that we broke of His personally. And then the world will line up to, they'll get blessed because if my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal America. I'll heal their land.
Right.
And, you know, think about John Paul Jackson. You know, he said, how long will this last? How much intensity will there be? And it's like, until we do that. And it's like, we're going to repent. We're going to repent. You know what I'm saying?
That's
right. You know, it's like a little, you know, somebody going, well, I'm not going to. It's like, okay, well, then you just escalate things.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, minimum force necessary is what they, and that's how you had to describe it in law enforcement, that if you told somebody, you know, drop the gun, and they say, no. Well, the first thing you do is you do a voice command, drop the gun. Unless it's pointing at you. And then you drop them.
And there's no talking.
And then you just drop them.
Yeah.
No. And no. Actually, more officers have sat there. And it's amazing our officers, because every day their life's at risk. And we definitely, and if you don't appreciate your law enforcement now, let me tell you something. In the next 6 months to 18 months, you're going to be so grateful for these men and women if they hang in there and don't quit.
That's right.
If they hang in there and don't quit, because some tough times are coming. And so anyway, you say, drop the gun. And they, and some, believe it or not, some criminals just go, no. You
Do
know?
They really?
Right, yeah, yeah. And so then, you know, let's back up. Let's not use a gun, because, you know, that's not going to be a long conversation.
No, that's going to be short.
He's got a knife. He's got a knife. And he drops the knife, and he says, no. And so then he gets louder. Drop the gun now. Knife. Or else knife. I'm going to... Knife. Knife. Thank you. Dude, crickets.
That, man, you're on vacation, man. Come
I
on.
Know. I'm yeah. telling you. You know, I'm playing. And so drop the knife. And so he, that doesn't happen. So then he says, you know, I'm going to bring out my baton and do some, you know, it's a twirling.
On your head?
Yeah, it's like, a, you know, a nightstick or whatever you want to call it. And you know, I'm going to apply some pressure to you. And he still doesn't. And then he says, well, you know, of course you're not going to do it with a knife. You're probably going to just use a stun gun or a taser. Mm-hmm. And he says, drop it or I'm going to tase you. Mm-hmm. And he does it and he gets tased. And he just progressively increases all the way up to where if the man gets shot or the woman gets shot, it's because they refuse to listen to the officer.
Mm. Yeah.
But he has to articulate in his police report before the jury of our peers so that we can hear that and before our judge that we voted in office and all the media cameras that are watching how I got to this point of force.
Sure.
And if they say that's a reasonable progression of force and it's all based on the size of the officer and their abilities and all that, for example, you got a 100-pound lady officer, she could use higher force quicker. But if you had somebody like, I'm not going to name any names, like 230 pounds, 6'4", you sure. know, he just goes boo and people, you know, listen. Mm-hmm. Right. And then they would actually expect him to have more, you know, patience with that and progress. Which, you know, that's, anyway, but you got to be able to articulate. That's what's happening right now in America. What's happening in America right now, church, is minimum force necessary. And God is saying, drop the knife. Mm-hmm. God's saying, just repent. He's saying, go back to my laws. Go back. Listen, I got mercy for you. I got grace for you. If you just acknowledge it and fall to your knees, humble yourselves and pray and turn from your, I'm telling you, I'll forgive you. Mm-hmm. I mean, God is so good. Sometimes he just reboots even when men don't even ask for it. He just resets. You know, he's just good. Listen, he's good. Don't let the enemy tell you he's just awesomely good. Mm-hmm. And then don't let religious people convince you that you are in a category of sin that God can't forgive, because it's all the same. Every bit of us the same, you know, and there's only one hell. Mm-hmm. And so
they always say, you know, if you're getting ready to have an operation, do you want the doctor to use the knife with a little dirt or a lot of dirt?
Right.
It's like, no dirt. You know, it's all sin. It's all, you know, don't get into hunting and pecking and trying to judge someone by what you think is going to be worse.
Well, you're going to lose.
Hello?
You're going to lose because, you know, all have sinned and all have fallen short. And that right now what people need to hear is our knees rubbing on the dirt. I mean, they don't need to hear us. And that's going to be the first thing. Mm-hmm. You know, as a matter of fact, listen right now. CBN News is talking about this. You can see this on the VFN Torch. Where the shooter goes into the Family Research Council yesterday, around 2 or so, I believe, and comes in there with a Chick-fil-A bag and come in there with an intent with a bomb, I believe. But listen up.
Wow.
I'm Charlene Israel. A security guard at the Christian lobbying group, the Family Research Council, is recovering this today after being shot in the arm. The suspected shooter was wrestled to the ground and taken into FBI custody. Paul Strand has the latest from the FRC's Washington, D.C. office.
The suspect, 28-year-old Floyd Corkins, is a volunteer worker at a Washington community center for the homosexual and transgender population of D.C. A neighbor said of Corkins' alleged attack,
"Well, I'm very shocked. It's very surprising."
The suspect reportedly made a negative reference about FRC's policies before opening fire.
FRC is known here in D.C. as one of the more conservative Christian lobbying organizations, especially well known for its stance for traditional marriage and against abortion.
The suspect was reportedly carrying a Chick-fil-A bag. Chick-fil-A's president has been under fire for opposing gay marriage and funding groups like FRC. If this was a political attack, some conservatives are saying liberal and pro-gay organizations that keep labeling FRC a hate group for opposing gay marriage are partially to blame for the dangerous atmosphere.
So look about this. This guy just barges into Family Research Council in Washington, D.C., with the intentions, and he's responding to, you know, what happened with, you know, Chick-fil-A stood up as a business owner, as a citizen, and just said, this is how we feel about marriage. And they were very kind in how they didn't say, this is what we're telling you to do. Mm-hmm. Right. This is how we feel, which is called First Amendment. It wasn't about chicken. And it really wasn't about marriage as much as it was about the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that First Amendment, you know, this particular guy, he could have said, and obviously he's part of the organization, that he could just express how he feels. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can express, in America, you can express how you feel.
Sure.
And, but it just seems to work out that way, that when, no matter how you present it, and it's so important to speak to the truth in love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's not to just yell the truth, not to stand on a street corner and shake your Bible at somebody and scream at them, you know, because mm-hmm. he says, you know, Jesus didn't even bend a reed, you know, I mean, he was very humble and very gentle, but he was very bold and he's very direct. So it wasn't, mm-hmm. he's not a wimp.
Right.
He's,
right.
He's bold. But the fact is there's a way to let people know, listen, you know, I know where you're at. I can empathize with you.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us have fallen short. And I understand, you know, you're saying that you have, you know, this is how you feel. But in America, we could say you have the right to be able to say that in America.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You have a right to be able to say that. In the same manner, you know, the Family Research Council has the right to be able to say, I don't know how they're presenting it. I can't tell you. I haven't done the research
right.
on the Family Research Council. But I have listened to some, you know, Christians, you know, that have... you know, on the air and saying things, and it seems hateful versus it's hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's mm-hmm. hateful instead of love filled, you know,
right.
Repent God. And the thing is, this is how I believe the message should be delivered to all of us is, you know, God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you. You need to just stop all the things that and just fall to the cross as you are, just as I am, without one plea. Come to God and just realize that with all your luggage and everything, that's, you know, that's how I came. That's how people I know that I came. I mean, Pat still got luggage. I mean, it really does. And, you know, I like what T.D. Jakes said. You know, he said, you know, he says, forget about sex. He said, I did some things before I got saved. I did some things after I got saved. Forget about Satan. God, save me from me.
Yeah.
Because right. it's a constant dependency factor that we have on God, and his grace is sufficient. And he says, if anybody says they're without sin, they're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
But God's not a God. But he says, but if you'll confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, which is all sin, and mm-hmm. cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then he says again, if you say you're without sin, you're a liar.
Mm-hmm.
And so how we present that is so important. We can't stand up and point at somebody who is guilty of the same thing that we're guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to be able to say, listen, I can empathize where you're at. I understand this, but let me tell you how much God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
But the outcome of this, if you don't turn his way, is not good. It wasn't good for me if I didn't turn, and it's not good for you if you don't turn. But understand, right. it's a choice that you're making. What you're experiencing right now is minimum force necessary by a loving father who's allowing pressure to come upon society, not so the world can change, not so we can change our constitution, it's so that we can go back to God's constitution, the word of God, and proclaim it, you know, from the hilltops boldly and say, Jesus is Lord,
mm-hmm.
right.
you know, and begin to preach the love of God. I heard you guys, you know, talking about Reginald Tent and the Pilgrims, you know, and that's available on the app and also on the Torch, mm-hmm. BFN Torch, but they were so kind and loving to the First Nation people. Mm-hmm. And that's how we're supposed to be. And Jesus, this is what Jesus says. If somebody hits you on one cheek, turn the other one. Don't right. go hire an attorney.
Right.
You know, don't try to get revenge because he says, vengeance is mine. Listen, right. it didn't look like it turned out well for Jesus because he was lied on. He was thrown out of town. They tried to stone him. Mm-hmm. They beat him. They stuck a crown of thorns in his head. They nail him to a cross in front of everybody and try to shame him. But that was it was God working things out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he didn't even offer up a defense.
Right.
And this defensiveness, church, we got to stop it. We got to mm-hmm. stop being so. Who are we? We have to let people know we are them outside of him. We have to.
That's right. You reminds me of your message on who you're calling good. It's like we can't lift ourselves up. If there's any goodness in us, it's only because of Jesus Christ.
Right.
You know, and at what point can we begin to start pointing fingers? We all have to, like you said, we all have to hit our knees. We all have to repent and say, you know, for the grace of God go I. Because someone fell into one thing and you fell into something else. Doesn't mean one is better or less. In God's eyes, it's all not right if you're in sin. It's all, you all need to repent.
Mm-hmm. Right. And yeah. And so, you know, so it's not that we don't you preach righteousness, but in the standard, you know, when you marched in ranks, like we marched in ranks in the military, mm-hmm. and you hold a flag up in the very front of that, those ranks,
mm-hmm.
Your troops. Mm-hmm. And, or, you know, when you looked at the days of the regiments, they had a flag for each regiment,
mm-hmm.
you know, and each division had its own flag, and would they put the flag in front, and then they would, we would look to the flag, and that's how it kept us in alignment. Mm-hmm. So we have like three or four ranks wide, and, mm-hmm. and we'd march side by side, we'd march in unison, and that flag is called the standard.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And the American flag is called the standard. But in the church, we're not lifting men up or organizations up or traditions up or philosophies up, and no man should be lifting himself up saying he's the standard. Mm-hmm. What we're lifting up in front of us so we can stay in alignment with the creator of the universe is Jesus. Right. Jesus is our standard. And he said, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up, if I'm going to be lifted up, if you lift me up as the standard. And so this is where the enemy will come in and confuse things and try to take someone down, is that he'll tell you that they're lifting themselves up as a standard.
Right.
But the way you resolve that is you do like Paul did. You talk and boast about your weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. And if you have problems finding out your weaknesses, ask the people around you. Right. As a matter of fact, just give them all a blank application, give them free. Matter of fact, just do a blog online so everybody can just publicly just put it out there, you know.
A survey, a poll.
Yeah, run an ad in the local newspaper. Yep. And just let, you know, let them know that the only good is God, the standard in you, Christ in you is the hope of glory, not you in you. And when you get past good, it's a refreshing place to be. Mm-hmm. Because when somebody accuses you of not being good, you're like, have you read the press? I mean, mm-hmm. come on.
Yeah. Catch a clue.
Catch a clue. But the good that is in me is God, and he loves you like he loves me, and he's got a plan for your life. And so the standard at VFN Radio and VFN TV and the church we should be lifting up is Jesus, not ourselves, not our personal preferences, mm-hmm. you know. And I've seen a lot of, you know, 50% of the marriages in the church that profess to be Christians in the church are ending in divorce. So obviously finding somebody of the opposite gender is no great reward.
That's right.
I mean, you're not all of a sudden righteous because, you know, you found somebody, you know, that was the opposite gender. And right now the question is, what's at stake right now is marriage. But is what marriage that we're presently presenting in America as a church marriage, is that the measurement?
Yeah.
And if
it is, we're in trouble.
Yeah. And if we can say, okay, let's forget about all these. I'm so tired of all these marriage seminars that are opposite of the standard of Jesus, the opposite mm-hmm. of the yeah. word of God,
right.
mm-hmm. and been teaching all these traditions and stuff to be able to undo the things of God. And then that means you're lifting men up and organizations and concepts up and philosophies up and traditions up over God's word. Mm-hmm. And now mm-hmm. Jesus is not the standard anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's right.
And so if we'll begin to lift Jesus up as the standard over marriage, you know, and how it should be, and it's not vague. Marriage is not vague. In the Word of God.
That's right.
It's not a mystery.
Yeah, and so we can't sit here and have, you know, be, you know, in rebellion to God in our own marriages, you know, mm-hmm. and then point at the world and tell them how they should be married.
Mm-hmm.
We just can't do it. We're not going to win. First of all, we're not going to win it because this is not trying to convince man of something.
Mm-hmm.
It's God dealing with us who left him mm-hmm. in his ways. You know, he says, your lips, you flatter me with your lips, but your heart is far from mm-hmm. me. Yeah, I'm telling you, this is going to be the secret. And I'm on this journey with you. So we're just trying to get to where John's at. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. I'm on the journey.
But I'll tell you the secret. The secret is this. Yeah, you're right. Teresa just texted me. I'm joking. And that
he's on the journey too.
Oh, really? Journey just got extended.
It's getting longer by the moment.
But the secret's going to be this: that if we lift Jesus up as the standard of our marriage, we got a lot of repenting to do, because the husband is the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church. If your children have been watching you live in rebellion to God in your marriage, while you're ruling over your husband, or while you, sir, being seduced by the things of the world, and you're not leading in your home. I'm talking about not women, but talking about marriage order, mm-hmm. and men. That then your kids are looking at you going, are you really going to tell the world how to be married? Are you going to criticize two of my friends at school for their mm-hmm. choices? Because I live with you. Mm-hmm. I watched you guys walk in rebellion to God's way. I watched you when you know, dad would say something and he would leave and you would undo everything he did. Mm-hmm. I watched all that. So the answer is, if my people, not the people who don't even know God, not the people who haven't even made a choice for him. Mm-hmm. This is to the church. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. What does that mean? Humility means total dependency on God. It means Jesus is a standard. It means you're going to look at the word of God and say, what is marriage supposed to be like? Oh, my mm-hmm. God. Oh, we are out of order. Out of order. You know, out right. of order. You're just out of order, right? And so then you say, I'm going to put some things back in order again. That's called justice, by the way. Mm-hmm. And Jesus, the word of God says, no one cries for justice. Mm-hmm. You go to BFN TV and get that. No one cries for justice, because we got to begin to cry for it. But the only place that we can first cry for it is at the cross of Christ. You know, Jesus took our justice on. And so the forgiveness and the mercy of Jesus will allow you to be able to reboot and be new again and old things forgotten. And then you can begin to walk. But listen, we can't tell the world how to be married. Mm. We can't tell the world how to be married when we ourselves aren't married right. Just because you found somebody of the opposite gender does not mean you succeeded. Ask them. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Ask mm-hmm. them. You know, did you love? Did you seek to walk in obedience to God? Not were you perfect. Not did you not make mistakes. But did your kids, did your spouse see you say, I know that the world contradicts this. I know that all of our friends are walking opposite of this. I know that people are preaching an opposite gospel to what Jesus says, but he's the standard. We have to fight for the standard, because our only hope for marriage is going to be God, not our own ideas and concepts of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, these people walked into the Family Research Council and with a gun, and you could say this, you could say, well, these are all men, and men are doing this, and men are doing that. But let me tell you something, that this is, he says, the Lord is devising and designing a storm that's already happening, and it's beginning to happen, and it's going to continue to increase, minimum force necessary, till we do what I'm just talking about. And I'm with mm-hmm. you on this journey. It is not easy. It is not easy to look at people who you love dearly and say, listen, I've got to love God too, and if you put me in, back me in a corner, if you bat me in a corner, because Jesus told me if I don't love him, obey him over you, then mm-hmm. I can't even enter into the kingdom of God. But you may find out, if you're doing it with humility and you're doing it in love and you're willing to be as patient with them as God is with you, mm-hmm. then over the long haul, you may see a turning around of your family. But either way, God's going to see you, you know, loving on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could be a Josiah, you know.
All right.
And with that, then people will see your marriage. They will just see your marriage, and they'll say, I want that. But right now, let me tell you what the world's saying. They don't want what the church is showing them in regards to marriage. And I got news for you. What the church is showing the world as marriage, I don't blame them a bit.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll be back in a moment. The interesting thing, I guess you could say, it's interesting about the Lord that you discover is mm-hmm. he gives us a chance to join him.
Many chances.
But he doesn't force us.
Right.
He will send prophets to us. He'll say, matter of fact, I'm coming to you right now and probably letting you know, if you don't know yet, mm-hmm. that if the church does not arise, if she doesn't awake, things as we know it in the nation called America, the United States of America, is going to change. It's changing before our eyes, but a third great awakening, a massive national revival, can change it. But we can drop the ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, we've dropped the ball. And if we drop the ball, God will just move. The cloud will move. It's moving as we speak into India, into China. As a matter of fact, listen to Peter Wagner and Steve Hill talk specifically about that. I'll be right back.
And say to this should not offend anyone. What this should challenge you. This should challenge me. Okay, I'm a young man. Okay, and I'm speaking to many. You may say, well, you know, I'm this. Peter, you're up in, I don't know, 70, 80s or whatever, but the bottom line is you got the fire of an 18-year-old, okay? and the vision. The vision, and you see the world laid out like God sees it laid out. He goes, listen, if you don't take this and run with it, if you don't take this pure gospel that I've given you, and it's simple, the gospel is not complicated. If you don't take this and run with it, I'm going to pass the ball to somebody
else. You're going to give it to somebody else. That's right.
I'm going to give it to somebody else, and they're going to run with it.
Exactly right.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And you think about it. Why would we have to be swallowed by a whale? Why do we have to go? He said, I will not go in the I will not respond to the call. I'm not going to do it. But when he finally did it, Nineveh, a great city, turned around. You don't think, and this is what this is what God told Jonah. Should I not be concerned?
Mm-hmm.
Should I not be concerned? Should I not be concerned about this great city? Do you don't think God's concerned about the great nation called America? He cares. He loves the American people. He wants them to know him. He wants the church to rise. But you know what? If we don't stand up, if we don't say, you know, this is me, I'm ready to do it. God, use me. Here I am. Send me. You can find out. Listen, we have been preparing for you. We have been preparing for you. You know, all the way from training you up to rightly relating you, to bringing you into the Harp and Bowl ministry of Revelations 5:8, so you can pray and watch and make sure, you know, that you stand in the midst of what's coming. We've raised you up in unity, what we call the due space, being able to be together continually with all the family. We raised you up and be able to get connected and rightly related and get discipled, and not only get discipled, but to go through VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, to train you again in the simplicity. It's so simple. It's not complicated. Religion complicates things, but it was so simple that the fishermen were doing it, and it just blew the mind of all those that invested so much in gaining so much knowledge that they were no longer any use in the kingdom of God. As a matter of fact, it reminds me of my spiritual father, Ken Summerall. This is what he says. He says two things. One is, he says, every time I began to get insecure about things when I was in ministry, when I was young, I would go get a degree. I would get more education. He said, I was dying by degrees. I had to unlearn everything I learned so that God could use me. He says something else in his book called The Flexible Wineskin. He says, listen, if it ever gets like that, mm-hmm. I hope you, those that are related to me, I hope you will step away from that so that you can continue on with the call that God's placed on your life. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. Listen, let's do it. Let's believe God. Let's raise up for a day such as this. Don't look around for people to be your cheerleader. If they're not going to go, they're not going to cheer you on. But if you will go, if you'll be that voice, God will use you. vfnfamily.org. VFN, that's V Victor, vfnfamily.org. Well, you think about, you know, abiding. I mean, talk to us, Steve. Talk to us about, you know, somebody out there, they're thinking about, oh, it's just so hard. You know, what do I do? I mean, what would you say to them?
It's just really simple. It's not hard. You're just being with Jesus. You're talking with him. You're reading his word. And you're just listening.
Right.
You're talking to him. He's talking to you. And it really is that simple.
How rapidly did your growth in God happen once you started abiding with him?
It was amazing.
Isn't it?
God just started pouring out himself, because he just says, you seek me, I'm going to seek you.
He says, you draw near to me, mm-hmm. I will draw near to you. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. You know, everybody really wants to abide. They want to hang out with God like John 15, Jesus tells us. But they just need a little simple plan to do that. You can find out at iabide.org. Just request your plan today. So, my friend, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can, you know, I want something to listen to. I want mm-hmm. something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And of course, we're getting feedback from a lot of our listeners and viewers that new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and Africa.
And Africa. I mean, it's all mm-hmm. around the world. In America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what? I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me towards the end of the first hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos. I am so excited about being back. Oh, my goodness. I am so excited about being back. Here we are, you know, talking to the world about the King we love, about our Lord and our Savior. And we're able to tell them how much he loves them and thinks about them, and and how urgently or anxiously he awaits the moment that you recognize that he's always been around you, waiting for you to reach out for him. I mean, he's been like, you know, here's some air, you know, here's some blood flow, you know, here's some vocal cords. You know, here's a heart. Here's some food. Here's a place to live. Here's a nation. Here's, will you reach out to me? I'm not far from you. I did all this to see if you would actually acknowledge me. It's Acts 17, isn't it? It's like, oh my goodness. Were you gonna notice me today? Is it me that gave you your paycheck, or did you get that paycheck?
Right.
Is it me that is holding up your economy, or is it you holding up your economy? Are you turning to me? It's me. Do you notice it? Do you recognize me? It's me. God loves you. It's, I can't, oh my goodness. You might be wanting right now to meet him. You just got to meet him. He's so good. He's there all along. He's been there all along. He's just been watching you and singing over you, by the way, and just waiting for the day. That's why life seems so many mercies are in life, because he's given us just a little bit more life.
I know.
Hoping that maybe they'll turn. If you want to meet him, you just got to meet my Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. Well, you can do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. We shared a few of our stories, how we met him, and maybe that'll encourage you to see how you too, right now, can make that decision to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Go to meetmyfather.org. You know, I think about, you know, what we were talking about just a moment ago about minimum force necessary and what's taking place. I think about, you know, Edmund Burke's quote, and I'm trying to grab, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King's quote of it as well. And I believe, I don't know who pulled from who, but he says, all that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing.
Wow.
And I remember Dr. King also used these words. All that is required for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. The question is what do good men do? And is it good men that understand the only good in them is God in regard to the church? You know, and there are good Americans that don't know Jesus. But in regard to the church, and that's what we're always talking about on VFN Radio, is to the church, to those that have gone astray and those that are being led to God. That's who this is for. And so for us is that we can't sit passively by and do nothing while evil prevails. Now, the question is, what do we do? And do we get out and start trying to make things happen, or do we fall to our knees first? And good, this is what a believer should do. We should fall to our knees in brokenness and repentance, understanding the condition of our society today is because we have sinned. They were already sinned. We're all born into sin. It's not like they sinned. They were already, you know, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. It's not that we get condemned if we don't receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We were already condemned already in our sin. We become not condemned when we choose Jesus Christ, who became condemned for us. And so the condition of our land is because the church has sinned. And which means that it can change if we, as men and women of God, to be able to fall to our knees and said, you know, I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be, and I found out that America's issue was me. It was the church, you know. And but with that, it comes repentance.
Right.
You think about it. It becomes repentance. Repentance. So what do you do? I mean, what is the thing? And this has been my question. You know, what do we do? because you can say, oh, this is it, and this is, you know, the first thing is just begin to pray. You get with like-minded people who love God, who are not switching the Word of God for any philosophies. Right now, let me tell you something. You know, people are talking about hanging on to the Constitution. You better hang on to the Word of God.
Right.
Because it's changing so fast and morphing so quickly, and things are happening, and all those conversations that began in the garden that said, you know, did God really say, is all over the land right now, and people are buying into it. But you just think about David. You know, David was not a perfect man. He was a man after God's own heart. He was just going one day. His dad told him, said, listen, take some cheese and some bread to your brothers. Right. That's it. You know, and he just, it's just by happenstance. So it's not, people go, well, you know, I haven't seen an eclipse yet, and the earth hadn't shaken 2 foot to the right, so I don't know if God wants me to do something about this. He was carrying cheese and crackers to his brothers. I mean, he was carrying some food to his brothers who were at war. Their strategy was
hide,
hunker down, hide. And so when he gets there, he sees his brothers who he loves and God loves hiding behind brick and mortar. I mean, hiding behind, behind.
That's good,
John. That was terrible. Hiding behind rocks. They were hiding behind rocks.
Right.
And he looks at his brothers behind the rocks. He looks at the whole nation under great horrific bondage. He looks back at his brothers and all the nation behind the rocks. You know, I mean, the rock could be sheetrock, it could be stucco, it could be bricks and mortars, it could be wood, but it's something preventing you from seeing the giants that are in the land. And so he looks at, because he can obviously standing in a position that he can see both the people that God loves, the armies of God, and he can also see this giant who's, you know, Goliath. He's like, you know, send me out somebody. I'm gonna kill him. You know. It's like, they're going like, you want to go? No, I don't want to go. I don't know. and he just all of a sudden says this, and I really believe this is our response. This is what we have to say, and realize it very well could cost you your life. But what a sacrifice! That's what he said. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Now listen, understand the predicament here. He's looking at the people who are gods. They are God's people. So they're not God's people, even though they're in bondage.
Right.
But they're in bondage. They're hiding. They're in fear. And he says, this is not right. They should be free. And then he looks back over at what's attacking them. And he says, who, I don't understand this. I'm trying to get this. Now, the creator of the universe is on your side.
That's right.
You know, the one that parted the Red Sea, the one that fed you manna, the one that your sandals didn't run out for 4 years, that brought you in the promised land flowing with milk and honey, the God that is always with you, the pillar of fire, the pillar of... I'm trying to get this right. Something's not right here, because who is this? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine coming against you guys? Because you, come on. Is there not a cause? And that's our response.
Right.
Did David, you know... As a matter of fact, the very people that were hiding behind who are God's people, they're not God's people. And God loves all mankind. And we can be in bondage, you know, and be God's people. But, you know, he says, you know, and then he overheard, he says, hey, whoever can take this down gets no taxes. Well, you can really relate to that today.
Yeah, all right.
And he goes, let me get this straight. If we knock this puppy down here, then me and my family... You hear his family like, go, firecracker, firecracker, go, David, go, David. No more taxes,
go,
right?
Go, David, go.
Of course, now the ones that were cowarding behind the rocks, and you got to get ready for this, because you stand up and say, is there not a cause? It's like this big, bright light shines on the guy squatting behind the rock. And no matter how pretty his robe is, it's like, dude, you got wrinkles in it. You're squatting down behind a rock while the world's going to hell in a handbasket. We got to do something about this. Is there not a cause? God's people should not be in this. What happened to us? What happened to us? So we got so comfortable. We're making $360 per $48 in the world. We've gotten too rich. We think about it. Anyway, listen. And so he's trying to figure this out. He's trying to figure out what's, is there not a cause? And immediately the people that are hiding behind the rock, they come out to him and say, listen. And the one that was trying to hire somebody to send to kill this dude, Saul, He goes, listen, you're going to need to put all this equipment on to go fight this dude. He's like, he tries to put it on. He's like, that stucco just don't fit right. He's like, I need some stuff around me. You know what I'm saying? This whole tradition thing that the way that you fight battles just don't work. I got to fight the battle with the very thing that I've seen God use.
That's right.
You know, what is that? I got five smooth stones and a slingshot. And of course, Saul is so desperate, you know, and everybody's so desperate. Well, let's give him a shot.
Yeah, right.
Maybe he'll get lucky, right?
Right.
And so he takes off all their tradition. He says, listen, it wasn't working for you. Why are you trying to put on me?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you trying to put on me what ain't working for you?
Wow.
If it ain't working for you, Saul.
Wow.
And you say, I got to use this to do that. Let me just use what God has shown himself with, whatever that is. And this is with you. God has shown himself mighty with you. He's done things with you that you know that is your five stones and your slingshot. Mm-hmm. And just go out against and pray and seek God. Get rightly related. Don't be alone. I encourage you, don't be alone. But you can be alone if you are in a place where they're hiding. You know what I'm saying? But just stand up and do what's right. And what he did was, he just said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine to come against the armies of God? And so he goes out. He runs out. John. John, listen to this, man. He didn't just go out and covertly, you know, he runs.
Right.
Because he's shocked. He's just, you know what I'm saying? That no.
Mm-hmm.
He's shocked. And he runs out to this giant with his slingshot and his five rocks. Think about it. You know, everybody's peeking. You see the little eyeballs peeking out over the rocks. They're going like, what's going to happen? He's dead. Oh, he's so dead. He's so dead.
You can do it.
They're already thinking about their next book to write, How David Died, you know?
I know.
And I told him he was wrong.
Yeah.
And he goes out there. He swings that slingshot around, which is like a rope slot, and he just lets go of it. And God takes that one smooth stone, the first of five, and drives it right in the head of that giant.
Right.
And he falls down and dies while the entire crew of God's people is hiding behind buildings. While the nation's falling and we're in sin, we won't even entertain the probability that God can empower us to defeat this if we'll just let go of our false gods, our idols, our sin, and quit trying to tell the world to get right so we have a better life. Why don't we get right?
Wow.
So God's name will be glorified. Listen, there is a cause. That's how we respond. Listen, God is looking for a man to rebuild the walls and stand before him in the gap so that he would not have to destroy America. But who has he found? Has he found you? Has he found you? I'll just leave a blank there, and I'm going to close with this. Ezekiel 22:30 says, God is looking. Listen, in the midst of all this, he's looking for a David. In the midst of all this, he's looking for a Josiah. God is looking for a man to rebuild the walls, his walls, not traditional walls, to rebuild the walls and stand before God in the gap between those who are doing wrong and those that are trying to attack God's people so that he would not have to destroy America. But he has found that's right. Silence. Has he found you? Are you ready? Maybe Gideon's army's for you. Maybe Gideon's army. Just a few people who will be in agreement. If one could put 1,000 to flight, two could put 10,000, three could put 100,000. Listen, if David and his five stones could do something, we just got to find somebody who believes God, who stands up. Listen, this is not about America. This is about God. God gave us this nation. Listen, we've got to rise to this occasion. It's time for us to stand up and fight the way God said fight. Not physically fight. Fight in the way, the good fight of faith that he's called us to. Well, we're coming to the end of the extra hour. God bless you. Catch us in the extra hour today. We've got so much more to say. We're going to know that atheism is on the increase in America. We're going to talk about that. It's risen since 2005. I'm going to talk also about the top three and the wisdom moment. You're going to enjoy it. Find out more at VFNTV.com. God bless.